Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Yeah, so I'm back to doing the one that I was doing before I started the rosewood, or the... It's not rose, it's a tulip. But whole blanket.
It's a pretty blanket.
You don't remember this one? I was working on this one before I started the other one. Yeah, I'm going to have to rethink which one to do next to sell. Because I'm having issues.
You're having issues. I'm over here trying to get this dang. I swear, I think when I'm not here, Kim sneaks in here and messes with my mic. Yeah, she's just like, how can I screw up Shane's mic stand?
Oh, darn, you found me out.
I swear I hate you sometimes.
The little things in life.
Mm-hmm.
Like Kim, so little.
So little. No one's ever described Kim like that.
Petite.
So little. So little.
Short.
Little T-Rex on.
Short as shit. And I'm shrinking too. Emily walked up to me the other day and she's like, Mom, either you shrank or I've grown. I said, I've shrank.
Aw.
Well, it comes with age.
Mm-hmm.
She needs that Boniva.
Boniva?
Boniva.
What's Boniva?
Some kind of osteoporosis medicine.
Boniva.
Yeah. I only remember because it's such a funny name.
It sounds dirty.
I forget who.
I need that bone.
There was some actress. I can't remember her name. She's the mom from Mrs. Doubtfire. Yeah. She's the actress in that Boniva commercial.
Oh, yeah. Okay, like, I know what you're talking
about. Is your osteoarthritis bothering you? New monthly Boniva. Not sponsored.
Josh needs a Boniva, man. Just a little bit.
I take 12 a day.
Good Lord. Good Lord. You want to come and use some of my men in the basement?
Flooded.
There's four.
Kim, you sold your blanket.
I did.
On Patreon.
I am so super excited.
She auctioned her butthole blanket off.
I can't believe how much that it brought. I was in shock.
I was absolutely.
Everybody's wanting you to wash your damn underwear.
No,
they want you to have that new washer.
I guess so. Yeah, the one that I had my eye on, it's not on sale anymore.
Oh. Well, hang on.
So I'm going to have to
go find a scratch indent somewhere.
Yeah.
Those are always.
Yeah. That's what I was kind of looking at Best Buy because they have open box ones. You know?
I ain't above it. I don't care if there's a huge old scratch as long as it works. Yeah.
As long as it works, that's all that matters. Yeah.
But you know what I wouldn't do? I would not buy one off of like Facebook Marketplace.
No, I ain't going to do that.
That used to be, I feel like, a safe place to buy stuff.
It's not anymore.
No, like there are podcasts now about people who have bought stuff off Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace.
Well, washers
and have died.
Yeah. People don't know how to wash. Like, they throw stuff with poop and, you know, I don't want used washer.
No,
I'll take a scratched one.
Yeah, and you can get, you know, you can get dirty things from people's
Which, utilities. I mean, Best Buy, they I don't know if they fix ones that they remove from people's houses, but they make sure everything works right and resell them. So I'm not scared about that.
You know, I learned a new sexual term this week. It stuck with me because it's so rare that I don't know the comings and goings.
So to speak.
Yeah. Kim, you probably heard of this. It cracked me up. Airtight.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
So man was like, I want to invite a buddy so we can make you airtight. In my brain, I thought, oh no, I'm not into rubber, like gimp play. Like I've seen where they have like, it's like a bodysuit that looks like a blanket that someone gets, and then they like suck the air out. And I'm like, no, I'm not into that. You know, no, thank you. My childhood wasn't that bad. But apparently it's when you have a man in each one of your orifices. So you're essentially like a Tupperware container, airtight. I was like, oh, no, no. Mm-mm. I'm not in my 20s anymore. I can't do that. No. Good God. And what's funny is it's those men that are like, I want to make you airtight, but no kissing. Right. I'm like, what the
hell? Oh, I know. Yeah, I know.
No kissing. How we all get started?
Yeah, Lord. I get it.
The way that you describe that outfit reminds me of that episode of The Golden Girls when...
The pants?
Yeah.
Does it come in a hat?
When Rose had those pants on that she was trying to lose weight and she was trying to suction her fat off.
Vacuum slacks. Yes.
I could just see Kim using that at one point in her life as like a fad.
No.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Get them ankle weights and some leg warmers.
Were you ever into some weird fads to try to lose weight? You've never done any weird fads.
Didn't drink apple cider vinegar.
Oh, God, yeah. No. No, you, I don't ever remember.
You were never in any of those weird ones? Not I don't I remember. Believe that. Something about you just makes me think that you would go to a church and pray the fad away.
I have never. No.
You never fell for any of that?
No, not really. Mm. I always had the philosophy, if you don't like what you're seeing, don't look at me.
That's kind of how I am. I don't have to sleep with me. We can turn the lights out.
I mean, I definitely got that way a little bit more than after I was divorced, because that was a huge hang up on my ex-husband's.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I take it back. I did one. There was a so-called fat doctor in a neighboring town. Actually, it's between here and my house.
Mm-hmm.
And he would prescribe diet pills.
Speed.
I went to him once just because, of course, my ex-husband, but...
I remember a lot of people when we had graduated high school, Adderall was very big for weight loss. Mm. Like a lot of my girlfriends, you know, we were living around colleges and going to frat parties. So they wanted to be real thin. And boy, did it ever. I took half of one because I was staying out of friends. And she was like, my room is a mess. Let's clean it. Here, take half of this. And I've never had it before. Didn't really interest me, but I'm like, I'm tired. Sure, if that makes cleaning better. I love to clean. Better cleaning? Yes, please. I took an 8-hour nap on half. She was like, I take two of these and like I'm awake for days. I don't need to eat anything. And one. And I could not keep my eyes open. I slept for the whole rest of the day. I woke up, her room was spotless. And I'm sitting there on the bed like, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened.
I don't remember what it was that he prescribed me, but I took it like once, maybe twice, and I about passed out. And I was like, yep, guess this is it for me.
Shaken.
I had a former roommate who, you know who it is, and I swear to Jesus, he tried everything. I mean, if there was a commercial for something, he was trying it. If there was something shared on Facebook, he was trying it. And I just remember like all these like packages would come or, you know, he would just buy these things. And every time they would come, because like these things are not regulated, you know, so like they could sell you a pill and tell you you're going to lose 5 pounds in a day.
It's got a tapeworm.
That's exactly it. And I'm just thinking, friend, Are you sure that's going to be healthy for you?
Have you tried diet and exercise?
How do you know that that's not poison or that's not, you're not going to drop dead tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, that and I did check into bariatric once, of course, my ex-husband.
But right.
After him, I'm like, you don't freaking like me? Don't look at me. I don't
turn
care
the lights
what people
out
think.
And get the bag.
Right. Oh, yeah.
I don't care what people think.
Yeah. No, you shouldn't lose weight for anyone else, definitely. But for my friend, I just remember, first of all, thank God we shared, you know, we were roommates. I had two roommates, but we had two different bathrooms because all of his dieting, oh my God. So like
overflow.
Yeah. So like I had my own bathroom in that house and they were on the other side of the house. So they shared a bathroom, but because he would try so many weight loss things, the other roommate was like, can I share your bathroom instead? I can't
use that
one. Yeah, because he had tried this one diet where I think that you try it after or before some surgery or something where you do like, I don't know, it was a bunch of greens of some kind. And oh like my God. Cleanse. Yeah, it was a cleanse of some kind. He would do a bunch of cleanses.
I know there's some kind of a, I know there's some kind of a
horrid
soup that you can make. And you're supposed to eat it for, that's all you're supposed to have for so many days. And you're supposed to lose a bunch of weight,
yeah,
like 10 pounds or more.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I'll do a Slim Fast here and there. Like I am, when it got hot, I tried to put on my summer clothes from last year. None of them would fit me. All of my shorty shorts were too little to fit over my engorged
all of
behind.
That sugar, Josh, you eat, that surprises me.
But
all
I've them lost, honey buns.
But I've lost 14 pounds in a month.
Wow.
Oh, nice.
Thank you, Slim Fast.
Right.
I'm starving and bitchy, but my shorts fit. All I had were like long like I call them straight man basketball shorts that I had like from exes and men who left them when they stayed over. But I don't like shorts that go past the knee. So I was like, I got to do something. And I ain't about to go buy all new shorts.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Slim Fast.
The funniest exercise videos I remember, you can find them on YouTube. There were these breathing ones. Have you seen them?
No, but I did used to do the
shake weight.
No.
She does that nightly. No,
what is his name?
Oh.
Richard Simmons. The
Sweat
into the Oldies. I did do the Sweat into the Oldies for a while.
Oh, I tried that Jillian Michaels from The Biggest Loser for a hot minute with one of my roommates. And we ended up just cussing at her because she does not like, if you watch her videos and do what she does, you will lose the weight, but you ain't going to be happy about it. You're going to be real tired and sore. We'd be sitting there like, I hate you, Jillian. Screw you. You're a monster.
I do enjoy the Oculus that Shane and I do. But
you guys remember?
I got out of it after when I had surgery, and I just have not been able to get back into it yet.
I like a good Zumba, too. That's always fun.
I've heard the people enjoy that.
Yeah. Anytime I've been, it's always been me, the one man, whole bunch of white middle-aged mothers, and then the rest are adorable little old ladies. And I'm not very coordinated. I'm very long and lanky. So they're like telling the old ladies, if you just do what you can, if you can't keep up, just do what you can. So I'm watching these old broads and I'm sitting there doing what they can. And I'm like, look, we're the same. I'm as physically active as a 68-year-old grandma. Great.
I'm hoping that the kids are closing on their house on Monday morning.
Fingers crossed.
Oh, no, it's done.
Okay. But
just all they got to do is sign. And hopefully once I get them all out of the house and I can redo my back porch, I'm going to have a bigger space that I'll be able to do that. So I'm hoping that
we're going to hold you to that, Kim.
Mm-hmm. No, I know.
No, but you have to watch the breathing ones because, so, I mean, for a while, you know, the dieting videos and things that people used to do are kind of comical because, I mean, for a long time, you know, they would do the ones where you would have to stand up to a machine and it would move you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There was these belts that would, you know, just move
I
you.
I like to
and
watch
just
guys on
there.
Those with big dumpers.
I almost sent you a TikTok the other day. I've probably seen it.
Blue basketball shorts and a big old dumper. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
but anyway, so there's this one that I love where And this woman, I assume, made a lot of money on this because she had a lot of videos out. But she was, I mean, she fully believed that you could lose weight on just like breathing. It's really funny. So like she does these like exhaling and inhaling things, but it's kind of scary to watch. So I'm going to do one, but we might have to like screw around with the audio because it's going to sound really weird. So she would like believe that you would have to fully exhale and then fully inhale, but you have to do it really weird. So I'm going to mimic it. So here we go. So she would be like,
oh, like force it all out. Girl, is you okay?
Funny to watch because you're like, is this woman dying?
Is this woman dying?
Yeah.
And that's the death rattle.
But then, like, she does like this thing while she's like inhaling and exhaling. Like, she's just like tapping her skin because she's like, I can feel it rejuvenating my skin. It's so bizarre to watch.
A little percussive maintenance. It's
so weird.
But I mean, it's a legit, like, exercise regimen.
People are odd. I'll never forget that lady on, it might have been My Strange Addiction, the one who believes she cured her cancer with her own urine. You guys never watched that? I thought that was like
I can't watch that show because those people have some weird things. Like, remember the one guy who used to sleep with his car?
Yeah, until the muscler burned his ass. Well, no shit, it's a hot muffler. Even my gay ass knows that.
Natural selection.
This one lady, she, no, for real, she believed her urine was the cure-all of all everything, and she would bathe in it. She even had these little cups, and she'd put her urine in these little glass cups and put them on her eye, like over her, let her eyes soak. She'd take baths in it, consume it. Like, she believed her urine was.
My God, how much are you having to pee to be able to do that?
I know.
She didn't have a grandma who whipped her butt. Our grandma would have smacked the piss out of us.
Well, you know, I'm like, you could have, this was before OnlyFans, but now she could have, you know, there's a whole market of weirdos. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll pay you $10,000 to pee on your eyeball. Like, ugh, no.
Ugh.
That's gross.
I can't stand even to smell urine.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of weirdos on the apps. And I've had men like, can I pee on you? And I'm like, excuse me, sir. I don't even know your name. And if I did, I would tell you off with your name. No, that's nasty.
How much? What's the price tag? Because there's a price.
Everybody got a price.
How much would your price be, Kim? There's a price
for somebody
for
to pee on me?
Yeah.
Depends on how good looking he is.
Okay, so we're like going to have
Henry Cavill, first, nothing.
First, we have to distinguish where is he going to pee at on me. Just is on, he going to pee on my toes?
From the neck down. From the neck down.
I don't.
And you can have clothes on. It's not like it's going to be a sexual thing.
Yeah. Dress up like a fire hydrant.
At this point in my life, it would take $15,000 to do it.
You heard her, folks. Mm-hmm. Anybody out there?
$15,000
on a full bladder. We'll even put a little bull's eye on her shirt.
Now, do you want to know why I say that?
Yeah, why $15,000?
Because it'll pay my car off.
As a businesswoman.
Right? Yeah. Thinking ahead. Mm-hmm.
You can't pee on me, but you can suck my toes and pay me a little. I've had men do that before, and the whole time, it doesn't like feel bad necessarily. I don't ask for it, but the whole time I'm thinking, please don't bite my toes off. Please don't bite my toes off.
Oh my gosh.
Speaking of, I was looking for stories to put, you know, to do for Shitfar. And I came across this one story and I couldn't use it because I didn't think it was an appropriate Shitfar story because first off, it's not. Ugh. But I just wanted to put a PSA out there. I came across this story. Okay. And I just wanted to share it before I get into my mystery. Because it's bothering me. It's just a story that's bothering
stuck
me.
Stuck in your crawl.
Yes.
Well, for God's sakes, tell us.
Hold on a minute, Kim. You could tell a long-ass story, and I'm going to start telling a long-ass story. I'm going to take my time.
He's got to build suspense.
I am. So there was these people traveling in Cambodia, and they were hanging out. And you know Cambodia has a problem with their monkeys.
Yeah.
They just got monkeys everywhere.
They're assholes.
So, yeah. Well, they were traveling in Cambodia, and they had their window open, and evidently these two people, friends, were taking naps.
And with the window open?
With the window open. Evidently, they didn't know about them damn monkeys.
How could they not know about the monkeys? Come on.
I research a restaurant before I go, and people don't research a country before they travel there.
Right. So one of the friends wakes up and he sees, oh, there's a monkey that's in our room. And the monkey is on the other person's bed and has whipped out the Wally Whacker.
This little Willy Whacker.
Of the other person.
It's not the monkeys, it's the guys.
Oh, yeah. My God.
He whipped out the Wally Whacker.
Watch this
and
thing.
And his friend was worried to, like, scare it away, so he didn't know what to do. So he, like, starts filming it.
Like any normal
stuff. I throw the lamp at it.
And he, like, I guess he, like, changes his voice, like, to a deep voice to try to, like, spook it. And so the monkey, like, runs away. But can you imagine waking up and there's a monkey who's got a hold of your friend's Willy Whacker?
Well, then the friend.
Which is what our grandma used to call someone's pee-pee.
Worm. Their worm. Yeah,
that's what she also used to call it.
Which is, and I'm terrified of worms. I hate them.
I know.
I'm like, I wonder if there's any correlation there. But right. I'm gay as hell, but I hate worms. Like, it don't make
My
sense.
My grandma used to call it a whippoorbill.
A whippoorbill?
A whippoorbill.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay, are you ready for my mystery?
Yeah.
All right, so my mystery today.
I got to get this image out of
whip around.
I want to know, how did he not know that somebody was undoing his pants? And
it looked like he was wearing, like, sweatpants.
Oh, the monkey thought it was just a grub or something.
Yeah.
I hope he woke up while the monkey was there, because if not, he woke up with his thing hanging out and his friend standing over him with a deep voice. Right. Like, what the hell is going on here?
I'm a really light sleeper, so I would definitely feel somebody was messing with me.
Right.
I feel like I'd wake up just by the presence of something else in the room. Like, something ain't right here.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. And damn monkeys, I swear. I always see videos because people, you know, go there. It's a very touristy place. And the monkeys, they're not afraid of humans. And they kind of see us as, like, they're better than us because we feed them. And they're like, oh, that means I'm that, you know, the superior being because these weak little humans are feeding me. So they just go right up to tourists, take their purses, take their phones. They don't care.
I was scrolling on the TikToks the other night and Steve Irwin's son. Do you know what his name is? I can't remember. But a monkey had gotten into his house. He thought he had shut the door and locked it. Somehow the monkey got in, and he was videoing it while it was in his kitchen, and he, you know, hollered at it to get out.
I do follow him. He looks just like his dad.
Yes, he does.
So cute.
All right. So my mystery today comes from one of our patrons.
Ooh.
It comes from Patreon Trevor.
Hey, Trevor.
Hey, Trev.
And Trevor sent me this mystery. So I have a question for Kim and Josh. When I tell you that my mystery today is on the Ohio balloon disaster, what do you think that means?
Somebody messed up a hot air balloon.
Yeah, I think of somebody a hot air balloon.
Somebody done messed up. So you think of a hot air balloon. Mm-hmm. What do you think happened?
Caught on fire and it burned and then crashed to the ground.
And people died.
Either that or someone released a whole bunch of inflatable balloons and messed with, like, planes and shit.
Are you having a rough time over there?
Yes, I'm telling you what.
He needs to stiffen up his...
I don't understand.
With my mic.
I don't understand why
Give
you
it
have
a little
such
Viagra.
A hard time with your mic.
I hate when them things don't just stand up straight and I salute you.
Are you sure? Are you done now?
I had a problem with that with a man the other day. I asked him to leave.
Oh, dear God.
Spit on it. Punch it.
All right.
Hukta.
I've seen a bunch of videos like that.
All right. So, the Ohio balloon disaster all started when the United Way of Cleveland wanted to set a record for the largest simultaneous balloon release.
Polluting the rivers and killing the birds and the fishes.
I think I might have heard about this.
Okay. Well, up to that point, the record was held by Disneyland in California, which had released 1.2 million balloons that prior year in 1985. So they wanted to release 2.2 million. The United Way wanted to do it because it was something that would involve the entire community, which would allow them all to work together to showcase unity for a cause.
People need better hobbies.
Now, those causes were three things. They wanted to raise funds for the United Way, which was a nonprofit that helped support community programs and initiatives. They wanted to raise awareness for the United Way's mission and the importance of their work in the community. They wanted to show what could be done when their community gets together, when they work together for a common cause.
Mass pollution.
Well, manufacturing jobs had left the city during the 1970s, so Cleveland was a much different city than what we know today. And it was a much different city in the 1980s than what it was prior to the 1970s as well, because of those jobs leaving. And even the town that we were from, which is Muncie, you know, they had experienced the same thing all those manufacturing jobs had left.
That's everybody when, doing drugs. Well, that's working.
That's when the whole area starts becoming, you know, that's why everyone refers to it as the Rust Belt, because all those manufacturing and iron working jobs had suddenly gone. Cleveland suddenly started to have an identity crisis, it seemed, and it was searching for a way to bring that community together. They wanted to lift the spirits of the community and usher in a new wave of inspiration.
I'm sorry. They wanted to lift the spirits. Let's do balloons. We can't afford food. Oh, look, some balloons.
So in order to put together the event, they called in a Los Angeles-based company that was led by Treb Heining, who specialized in balloon art. He was the same person that had helped Disneyland with their launch the year prior in Anaheim, California, which I've been to. And I've seen Disneyland. I did not go. At first, when they approached him, he thought that it would be impossible to do it because they wouldn't have the help of Disney behind it, because it would be such a massive project. But eventually, they were able to talk him into it, and he got on board to help them. It took a lot of months of planning, and they planned to release 2 million balloons. They found a biodegradable latex balloon. So then they had to secure enough helium for that massive amount of balloons.
I'm glad they used biodegradable.
Yeah. So they were searching for that type of balloon, and they were looking for enough helium for that massive amount of balloons, and they were trying to figure out how they would store them. So they decided that the date that they would do this would be September 27th, 1987, on Public Square in downtown Cleveland. They then needed to construct a gigantic net. So this net would span a city block, and it would be a structure to hold the balloons until release time. So the planning committee went to a company that made cargo nets for the International Space Station. And that company helped make the net, because that net would have to hold a weight that would be so massive. I mean, the weight itself would have to hold 25,000 pounds of lift for that many balloons.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. They also had to get the necessary permits to ensure proper safety measures were in place with proper officials. They had to coordinate emergency services for that number of people that would be in the area for the event. They knew that at least 100,000 people would be in the immediate area of downtown. They also had to secure insurance for the event in case anything happened. And I just thought, like, can you imagine trying to call up an insurance company and, like, explain, like, hey, we're having an event. Oh, what kind of event are you putting together? Balloon release?
Do you have balloon insurance? Yeah,
do you have balloon insurance?
This happened the same year that I graduated high school.
Oh, that's funny. Do you remember when that happened? I mean, Cleveland's not far from here. I go to
I think I do remember it, but I'll let you know a little bit better and a little later because I can't remember exactly what happened.
Now, when they started building the balloon structure to hold all the balloons, they decided that they needed to decrease the number of balloons for safety and also because of timing from 2 million to 1.5 million. They then started working with local schools. So leading up to the day of release, thousands of students would help fill those balloons. And to help raise funds for the United Way, those students would fill each balloon and they would get like a sponsor for each balloon. So those students were able to raise $220,000 back then, which is even more money now. So even back then, that was a decent amount of money.
That's a lot of sponsors.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in total, there were 2,500 volunteers, including children and adults, that helped fill those balloons. Companies and individuals donated a record amount to the United Fund of $47,154,533.
For balloons?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is $130 million today. But you have to realize that money's not going to the balloons. It's going to the United Way.
Okay.
The United Way uses the money to distribute it to...
I thought you meant that that's what the balloons, everything cost. I'm like, God.
No, the whole event, which includes the cost of insurance, the cost of everyone's time and resources, everything, the cost of the balloons was $500,000.
Okay.
They raised this $47 million plus $220,000. All of that goes to the United Fund, which is a nonprofit that distributes the money to nonprofits, which is, the United Fund is a great nonprofit. They use the money to help other nonprofits in the area, to help feed people, to help give places resources. I mean, it's a great, great, great company. So on September 27th, I don't think I mentioned this, the $47 million that they raised in 1986 would be $130 million today.
Good God.
So that's a lot of money. And that's not just like individuals donating. There were also a lot of corporate companies donating money because this was receiving national attention because the whole community of Cleveland was working together. And this was bringing a lot of good attention to Cleveland. Like, people of all colors and shapes and sizes were working together. All these students were working together for this one cause of just to break this world record. And at the time, they didn't see it as they're going to release these balloons and it could be a pollution. That wasn't in their mindset in 1986.
Right, it's the 80s. They didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
Pollution. Yeah.
So no one was really thinking about that. What was amazing and what was receiving national attention was, oh my God, all of these students, Black, white, Hispanic, are all working together, thousands of them, for this one thing. And so they were receiving national news coverage of those students talking about how excited they were, how happy they were to be from Cleveland. And so like Taco Bell got involved and they were on the ground leading up to this and even during the day. So they were, I mean, all these companies were donating money to this. So that's how they received that record amount of money.
God, I miss old Taco Bell from my childhood. I went all downhill as soon as that Chihuahua was out of there.
I know.
It used to be Taco Bell. It used to be so, like, that grandma would take us there as a treat, go get us a chalupa because the Chihuahua told us to. And now I go there and I'm like, this is disappointing. This tastes like garbage. Is.
Yeah, the last few times I've been there has been nasty.
All right. So on September 27th, 1986. At Public Square in downtown Cleveland, people are going to town filling balloons.
My bad. This was the year before I graduated. I thought it was 87.
Oh, no. 86. So they're going to town filling balloons.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
And it's kind of cool because they're in this like building that they've built and there's a net over the building and the students are all at these little stations. They're sitting down. They have music playing. I mean, you can watch the video. The children are all having a lot of fun,
I bet.
Smiling.
I bet. There's helium. I mean,
yeah, right. Right. There's like you just pop the balloon down, tie it, and let them float up. So you see all these colorful balloons. It's like a rainbow. I was just floating up. I mean, it looks really cool. The kids are having a blast. The weather's beautiful and sunny. And over 100,000 people have gathered downtown for the event. Everyone is very cheerful. Everyone's excited. I mean, there's news coverage there. I mean, just like it would be for a New Year's Eve celebration. You know, there's just a lot of joy is happening.
They're going down excited. In history.
Yeah. And everyone was super excited.
It's hard to look at a balloon and not be happy.
And they were colorful. They were very colorful balloons. You know, you have all the colors of the rainbow. I mean, They're not just like all red or all blue.
Like even when I edited your birthday episode the other day, like just the colorful balloons. Yeah. You're like, look how pretty this balloon is.
Yeah. That's how like the atmosphere looks in those old videos. When you watch like all those kids having a good time, they have the music playing and, you know, everyone's just having a good time. And it was great to see because you see all these kids from different backgrounds weren't worried about their home life and just having a good time. And I loved it. Well, already I mentioned that they had already reduced the number of balloons down to 1.5 million. So about an hour before the event should get started, they had already got to the point of getting almost all the balloons filled. Now, they got a report saying that, hey, it could start raining a little bit later, so we might want to go ahead and release a little early. So the balloon art guy was like, well, you know, we have an hour before the event starts, but all the balloons are finished now. If it's going to rain later, we don't want it to start raining while we're releasing. you know, that might tarnish everyone's mood. Let's go ahead and release an hour early. The balloons are done. We don't want people waiting around anyway. So let's go ahead and release. So with the 1.5 million balloons, they started going ahead and starting the festivities.
Let it rip.
Yeah, so they went ahead and started release. And the release starts, I mean, and it's filmed so you can watch it. They release it, and it's really cool to watch because, I mean, it's like we've all seen videos of a atomic bomb go
mushroom
off.
Mushroom cloud.
There's mm-hmm. this mushroom cloud, and that's how the net was holding these balloons. There's this mushroom cloud of color of these balloons just.
I think I've seen clips of it.
Yeah, but it's this beautiful cloud of color going off, and there's this huge tower in Cleveland, this huge building in Cleveland, and it just engulfs that building, and it's really cool, it's really pretty, and everyone's smiling, and the camera just goes around to all the different people in Cleveland, and they're just having a good time, music playing.
Then the bloodshed.
And I mean, you know, the balloons fly off, and everyone seems to have a good time. Now, the newspapers and the news all report for the next several hours about how everyone was in high spirits. Look at all the good work we have done, all the community's works. You know, everyone has done such a good job. And I've watched hours of news reporting before, during, and after. And that was the reporting. It was just, we've done, like, look what the community has done. And all the kids were reporting about how happy they were and how much they loved it. And it was really cool to see. Now, here is where the mystery starts. And I kind of like did a little naughty thing in the beginning. I kind of implanted the mystery at the beginning by telling you guys that the whole thing was called the Ohio balloon disaster. So it already set a precedent in your mind thinking that something bad happened, which is why you had this thought that, oh, something bad was going to take place. So a newspaper article comes out in the Plain Dealer, which is their newspaper, on the 25th anniversary in 2011. And in that article, the writer of the article, he says, you know, looking back at the Balloon Fest, which he was not there, it was a cool idea, but there were more bad things that happened during the event than the good things that happened, and it never led to a world record.
What?
Yeah, that's what the article says. Well, ever since, there's been a lot of creators and a lot of publishers, a lot of articles, a lot of YouTube videos, TikToks, podcasters who have been creating pieces calling Balloon Fest of 86 tragic, havoc, a disaster, just doomed, deadly, horribly wrong. So the mystery is, what truly happened that day? So let's get into it, guys.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I have spent many days working on this, trying to get down to the nitty gritty. So we're going to figure this mystery out. So let's go through the cost of the event, which is one of the number one things that people report on as one of the reasons why it was such a horrible event was because they went through, like, the whole reason for the event was to raise money for the United Way.
Right.
And they spent so much money that they went bust. Well, that's not true. The price tag of the event was $500,000. And the United Way has to, as a nonprofit, report all of this. Right. You can go back and look up all of the funding that they receive, and they have to report it. It's public information. So the student fundraiser received $220,000, which almost covered half of the cost of the event. And the United Way received a record amount of donations, more than $47 million, from, like I said, a lot of corporate companies and individuals. Not to mention that, you know, not only did they raise more than $47 million over the cost of the $500,000 price tag, But that also, the event did pay for the pride that Cleveland got out of the event, the pride of them all working together. So I think that it was well worth it for them. Mm-hmm. Even if, you know, so I think the event was well worth it. It was a well worthwhile investment, and they made their money back by far. Another thing that gets reported in every piece of creation that's created about this event is that the airport that's in Cleveland had to close down because of these balloons.
That's what the only thing I recall hearing about it.
Now, the Burke Lakefront Airport closed down for 30 minutes because of balloons on the runway, is what everyone reports. Now, this was a tiny local airport. You know, it's just like the airport that we have here in town.
Right, just private.
Yeah, people. If you have a little plane that you want to fly.
Crop Destin and...
Yeah, so...
There's an airport in Wabash?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be a small airport in every small community.
I didn't know there was one here.
Yeah.
The there one used we to grew be up one. In Alec does the gliding planes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a small local airport in every community. Right. And however, what they do not report on is that the organizers of the event had already worked with the federal agencies, and they had already made the entire area of Cleveland and the surrounding area a no-fly zone, because they knew that they were going to be releasing balloons and they didn't want anyone to get hurt. Right. So even if there wasn't balloons on the runway or near the runway, they couldn't have flown anyway. So...
Just
it's just someone's complaining.
I hate
to
when
complain.
People do that. I know. Watch my video. I'll tell you all the juicy.
They had to close. And what's funny is that they report they had to close down the Burke Lakefront Airport. Like it's the international. It's not even right. Like if you want to fly into Cleveland, that's not the airport you're flying into. That's not the flying in right. Airport. That's not their airport.
Some local Joe Schmo.
Yeah, like, that's the airport on. You're going to be flying if you have your own aircraft. You know that you're just using it to fly around with. Now, they also report of car crashes, and my favorite is that bulldozers had to clear the highways of balloons. Now,
cars can easily drive over balloons.
Right. Now,
but they had helium in them also. Why would they
well,
be
after they
the
why would
around.
You why would you need a bulldozer?
Right.
Now, the bulldozer is a BS story. First of all, after the rain came, there was a little rain that came. It was not a storm. It was not anything like that. It was a little bit of rain that people said that you didn't even need an umbrella. It was just a tiny bit of rain. And maybe tens, like in the teens of thousands of balloons returned. Not hundreds of thousands, tens of thousands returned towards Cleveland. So you wouldn't need a bulldozer to clear out that many on a street, first of all. Second of all, a bulldozer, I have no doubt that if there was a bulldozer needed to clear streets in Cleveland.
It's because of snow.
Well, first of all, the plane dealer reporters would have been all over it, because they already were reporting on any negative news dealing with Balloon Fest. If people, you know, were upset that it was even happening, they would go there to report on it. So they would have been all over it. The front page the next day would have been a bulldozer clearing a street in Cleveland of balloons. I mean, that's just the way the plane dealer works. They're not, you know, one-sided. The plane dealer is a very good newspaper. They're not just going to not report on something.
Aren't they still around today?
Yeah, they're. Like oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Plane dealer has been around for a very long time. And the fact that they think that there would be a bulldozer clearing a street without there being a picture of a bulldozer clearing a street in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Is a BS story. Now, there was a 10-car collision that happened after the balloon release, but it was because. Likely what happened was these drivers were looking, like there was probably a driver looking at the balloons flying in the air, mm-hmm. and they were gawkers. Oh, look, there's balloons. Right. Pop! And mm-hmm. then suddenly you got all these people piling up. Now, How many times have we all driven on the interstate and there's been an accident in the far side of the interstate, not even in your
I'm
lane?
Looking. I'm slowing down. Yeah. I'm looking.
And everyone in your lane slowing down. It has nothing to do with us, but we're all looking.
Even
looky,
if it's
lose.
Not an accident, if someone's getting pulled over, we're like, ha ha.
But that has nothing to do with the event. It has nothing to do with, you know, all the good things that came out of it. So again, nothing to do with the tragic havoc, the disaster.
So far, a There's local nothing. Small airport closed and no bulldozer.
For 30 minutes and no bulldozer.
Oh, the tragedy.
And the car accident was their own fault.
Right.
Yeah.
People don't know how to drive on a good day, let alone if there's a balloon in there. Right.
And another thing that people complain about for the event, which is rightfully so in my opinion, but there's a caveat to it. And Josh mentioned it when I first started the whole story, is that organizers polluted the area with balloons.
Well, you said they were biodegradable, though, so I mean...
Yes. So, there are balloons that are plastic balloons, and there are balloons that are biodegradable balloons. However, there is some debate over biodegradable, and I'm going to talk about that. Now, the people who organized this, they purposely bought and went out and purchased biodegradable latex balloons made of sap of trees, and they were colored with clay. Now, they truly believed that these balloons were as advertised, that they were only going to be flying up in the air. They would come down eventually at some place, and they would biodegrade immediately and be okay for the environment. You know, that's what they believed, and that's what everyone else believed. Now, there is a lot of debate among people about how quickly the biodegrading happens, and you know that's up for debate. Now, they did not use plastic balloons, which would have been a much more horrible situation. Right. The Ohio EPA, they do not have any negative reporting on any negative impacts from the balloon release. There are no negative impacts of anything from the balloon release. So the fact that there are people reporting that there was a disaster that happened after the balloon release, there's nothing to back that up.
Yeah, it's got me on like a clickbait thing before, like the Ohio balloon disaster, and how it showed like apparently doctored images of the Ohio River just filled with fish choking, ducks drowning.
And yeah. Now, there were balloons that ended up on Lake Erie, and one of the things that happens with biodegradable balloons is that's what will happen, and they are supposed to biodegrade into the water because they come from the sap of trees. That's just what the thought is, that they're supposed to biodegrade. What we know now from, you know, more knowledge is that the danger comes from the ability of animals to sometimes get caught in like the ways that they're tied, or if there's string around them. Sometimes those can endanger animals. So there's more knowledge now on how even biodegradable balloons can hurt animals. So even in Cleveland currently, there is a ban on mass release of balloons.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. But judging these people from 1986 from current standards would be unfair because they truly believed these balloons were as advertised from the manufacturer. Now,
it's not like they could Google back
then. Yeah. And so, like, if we judge anyone, it should be the manufacturers because maybe they didn't do their due diligence.
We got a lot of balloons. Just send them regular ones. It'll, you know.
Right. Yeah. But the people of Cleveland and the United Way and the organizers, they truly, honestly believed, I believe, that they thought they were getting and using something that was not going to harm the environment or hurt animals. And I think they took that into consideration, and that's why they were using specific biodegradable latex balloons. Because in all of their talking of what balloons they were using, that's the language they were using. We're using environmentally friendly balloons.
I'm even impressed they thought of that in the 80s.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, in the
80s. I just assumed that that technology wasn't available then.
Right.
Was there any kind of an estimate on how long it took them to biodegrade?
Well, one of the things that I know, like I am certain that the Plain Dealer reporters would have been all over the reporting on if there was a bulldozer clearing streets, because someone went up to one of the beaches and saw immediately after the balloon release and some of the rain coming down, they had seen some balloons wash up onto a beach. And so they called one of the reporters and they said, hey, you should come report on this. And so one of the reporters was like, oh yeah, I'm coming there. I'm reporting on that. Well, by the time the reporter gets out to the beach, the wind and water had already cleared it all. So there was nothing to take a picture of. There was nothing to report on. So I don't think that, I think that a part of the maybe blessing of the water and the wind kind of, it probably also helped biodegrade
quicker.
Yeah, I think it helped degrade them quicker. Now, one of the things that you hear most often about this balloon disaster is it's deadly. And there's a couple reasons for it. The biggest reason is because they point to these two fishermen that they say were killed, that they were drowned because of these balloons.
Oh, please.
So
that's here, a very big stretch right there.
Yeah, so here's what happened with these two fishermen. So the night before the balloon fest, Bernard Sulzer, who was 39, and Raymond Broderick, who was 40, they were neighbors who decided to go fishing together.
Mm-hmm. Fishing.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like Brokeback Mountain. Just kidding. At 8:30 p.m. that night, they were on a fishing boat on the lake, and a horrible storm came through. It had tree-snapping winds of 40 to 60 miles per hour, and the downpours had flooded the streets of Cleveland. Mm. Well, the two fishermen were supposed to be back from fishing around midnight that night, but when they didn't return, their family reported them missing. The Coast Guard found their 16-foot aluminum boat. Their fishing gear was in the boat, but the engine and gas tank was missing. In the water around the boat, they found two life jackets and a pair of tennis shoes.
Damn balloons.
Right. Well, they found all this before even the balloon release. Water in the boat led the Coast Guard to believe it had capsized during the storm the previous night, and it later righted itself. Now, the Coast Guard used a helicopter and divers and boats search for the men, but it suspended the operations during the rain after the balloon fest. Now, when they went to go back to search after that rain, balloons were all in the water. So the balloons had come down after the rain, and there were balloons in the water. So searchers had a hard time deciding what was a balloon and what could be a floating person. Because by that point in time, they already knew that they were searching for bodies. Like, these men had to be dead. They couldn't be alive in the water that long.
Like, Erie's cold.
Yeah, and that's what they knew. So Broderick's body was found more than a week later. It had washed ashore. And Sulzer's body was found on October 12th. Mm. Now, after they were discovered, the Coast Guard said that if these men survived the boat capsizing and they didn't drown immediately, they would have died within 12 hours in the water at the temperature that it was at. So they would have been dead long before the balloons would have ever reached the water. They would have been dead even before, you know, the balloon release. Now, their family did try to sue the organizers of the balloon fest, but once the evidence from the Coast Guard was presented, the case was dropped.
Right. My God.
Yeah.
It happened before the balloon race. How do they think that that's going to have anything to do with it?
Honestly,
some people look at death as a way to make money.
Well, there were a lot of weird lawsuits. And I think people just see an opportunity. And also, the event had insurance, and oftentimes with insurance, they'll just give you a lump sum if you just drop your lawsuit. And
one of the things I hate about our country is you can just sue for anything.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right.
So, another accusation that all of these creators make is that lawsuits cost the event millions of dollars.
Taken away from the community.
Yep.
Yeah. That's not true. The event had insurance, and there were only two payouts of insurance, and they were small settlements. One of them was the insurance company pays it all out. This doesn't come from the event at all. One of them was $5,000 to a horse farm because the balloons spooked the horses on this horse farm. It was
$5,000 for some spooked horses?
It was some bull crap. So in the lawsuit, before it was settled by the insurance company, it says that, you know, the balloons were there and there were some onlookers who were chasing like the balloons and it spooked their horses. So it wasn't even the balloons that spooked the horses.
It was the idiots running down.
My God.
So they sued and the insurance company just pays out $5,000 if you'll drop your lawsuit.
Or emotional distress to horses.
So they paid out $5,000. And they also paid out $5,000 for the fisherman lawsuit for them to drop their case, even right. though I think, I mean, there was no
they
case.
They shouldn't have got anything. So, no, I mean,
first off, it was going to get dropped anyway. I think it was more of a thing that the insurance company was like, hey, if you don't continue this, we're just going to give you this because a part of this is you agreeing not to sue anymore.
Right.
So it would have been about $10,000 altogether that the insurance company would have paid out. But again, that's not money that the event paid out at all. And the million-dollar question, Josh and Kim. Did it even make it into the Guinness Book of World Records in 1986? Well, I went looking. And it did.
It did?
It says in the 1986 Guinness Book of World Records, quote, the world's largest ever mass balloon release with 1,429,643 balloons launched. Very specific number.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
None of them popped. Like before.
Well, that's why I'm wondering like how they came to that very specific right. number. Because I know that some of them had accidentally released, and I'll get to that in the unmasked right. episode. Like how the event almost didn't happen. And I wonder just like how they knew the exact number. Like, you know how they have this little like thumb thing
for prisons.
But like in the videos you see like all these people like blowing up these balloons and like throwing them up in the air. And I'm just thinking like, was there someone who was just like
right. And you got kids doing it? Like yeah. are they keeping accurate like, counts?
How does this person know that there was 1,429,643 balloons?
Yeah, that is very specific.
Things unless nobody yeah. got the time packages. For.
No kidding.
Yeah. Unless the packages that they bought them in weren't like round numbers or whatever, and they just knew how many packages oh, yeah. they bought.
They're like, we blew up this many packages, but I've blown up a lot of balloons before for parties and they pop when you blow them up. And, yeah. you know, I mm-hmm. doubt if even when they opened a package, all the balloons are making right. it under right. the net.
That's true.
Very true.
Yeah, I wonder how that number came about. So, was Balloon Fest a disaster, a failure, a deadly horror?
The apocalypse.
I think, honestly, writers and creators sometimes need to do a little fact-checking. When that article came out, people in Cleveland who were there and lived it, I mean, and there were a lot of people. And I also am including the organizers in the event. They spoke out about it in Cleveland because the things that that person wrote about in the article were not true. The writer who wrote the article wrote in a sweeping style. And it was like, I've seen people write in this sweeping style to get people to read their articles before oh, yeah. in a very pessimistic tone just to get someone to read it. And you can just tell that he didn't fact check anything because, I mean, I went and looked in the very Guinness Book of World Records that year, proved that it's there. And the whole basis of his article is proved incorrect.
Well, people don't care if they're correct as long as right. yeah. their video
and
gets
that's
watched.
The thing that's frustrating to me about all those videos and things that people have created, all those podcasts, wrong.
My God.
Like, it's just crazy.
But their video probably has millions of views.
Oh, yeah. There's some of them have death. Tens, hundreds of millions of views. And I'm just thinking like, oh my God. And what's crazy is like, I watched them and they're like talking about how deadly and how horrific it was, but they don't talk about like, why?
Why was it deadly?
Oh my gosh, it was so deadly. It was horrific. It's a disaster. And I'm just thinking, you don't talk about the reasons that you're saying it was that at all.
Right.
Oh, they
because they had to use, and even if you want to say that, oh, they had to use a bulldozer to clear the street, that made it a disaster.
This is why I like doing Rotten so much, because, you know, you learn things sometimes from school, other times from other people about somebody. And, you know, you, oh, they were just a horrible, or sometimes, oh, they were a great guy, like my Mother Teresa episode. You know, she's a saint, a literal saint, but she was not all that innocent and good.
Right. Well, then all it took was someone to find that one article that he never, like, did a reversion of. Like, he never, like, went back and fixed it, never said, oh, hey, by the way, I'm going to revise that because I was wrong. All it did was for someone to go back and find that one and then want to expand on it. And they already found it. They want to make their own exaggerated version of it. And then all these creators just made their own exaggerated versions. And they want to add their own spin to it to make their own.
Right.
You know, it's just crazy.
Sad.
And here are just a couple quotes that I literally died when I heard them on these other videos and podcasts. These are quotes. And I mean, I told you everything about this, so you're going to love it. Quote, people were hurt by getting hit by balloons.
Were they made out of lead? Were they lead balloons?
These were rocks
being thrown. These balloons were coming down and encompassing these people's heads and suffocating it. Like, what the hell?
What kind of balloons are people? They cost millions of property damage. By balloons, even if they were clearing them with cranes, how would they have caused millions in property damage? They don't back any of that up, by the way.
Right. They just
say they just say it. It cost millions in property damage.
People's roofs, boat engines were tied, like, Micah, millions.
Yeah. Made of sap of a tree cost millions in property damage. And it clogged emergency lines. Didn't back that up whatsoever. Nothing.
Like 911?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So many people, I see some balloons up in the air. I just want to let you know.
There's something in the sky.
Yeah.
My God.
I don't know what it is.
People were hurt by these balloons. Next time someone calls me a pansy, I'm going to say, well, at least I ain't afraid of no damn balloon.
No kidding. Mm-hmm.
Good God.
All right. Here's my shit far for today.
Let's do it.
All right. So a man was quietly waiting in line in customs in the city of Shenzhen. Probably saying that right. Which is a border city between China and Hong Kong. When it was his turn to speak to customs, they noticed something a little odd was going on with his pants. So they asked him, sir, can you remove those?
Smuggling.
How many times has Josh asked me that? And shit far, there was a snake.
I was just about to say snake.
In his pants?
But right. Not just one snake. Shit far and save the matches, they discovered this man was packing. They discovered he had packed 6 canvas drawstring bags with 104 snakes, including milk and corn snakes of all shapes and sizes. Now, I saved the article.
Why?
This made me weak.
I'm going to post it on Patreon. When you see the size of these canvas things, I don't know how in the crap.
He thought he was getting through there.
He must have like had them like encircling his legs. And he must have had his like legs look like they were huge because these snakes are big.
There's a snake in my boot.
Yeah. These are big snakes.
Oh my God.
He was smuggling from China. And he was trying to get them into Hong Kong, I believe.
I think he should be killed.
Mm-hmm.
He should be killed.
Death sentence.
Dead, like on the spot.
Take him out. No? Take him out.
Ugh.
Awful.
Absolutely horrible.
A new nightmare for horrid. Flying unlocked. I'm going to start patting people down. Oh, your pants look a little bulky there. What you got in here? Josh, you patted that same man down 4 times. I don't think that's a... Just checking.
Josh, I'm going to make sure there's something in there. I know it.
Josh is going to be put on the no-fly list. Indianapolis will be like, sir, you're not allowed here. We don't want your kind.
Oh, my God.
All right, guys. Don't forget to follow us on all the social medias. We have Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole. We have our Instagram, which I have been posting clips of all of our videos, which people have been enjoying.
I've been cracking up at them.
I know. Well, sometimes I forget our videos. I've been going through all of our old videos because there's a new feature on Spotify where you can watch our videos on Spotify.
Woohoo!
So I've been going back through our old videos and posting, and it's taken a long time. And I'm telling you, I have seen some of our old videos, and Kim, you look horrid.
Ragged.
I mean, I look good, but you look bad.
I would say something to you, but this is not unmasked, and that word is frowned upon.
I'm weak from that snake. Like, you know how I used to lose, like, the all, veins. When you would touch my wrist as kids, I'd just go limp. Like, that's how I feel.
Can you imagine being customs?
Real weirded out by veins. Yeah. All he'd have to, like, if we were wrestling, all he'd have to do is grab my wrist and... Or he'd be like, look, Josh, I'm popping my vein, and... I still, when I get an IV, I pass out. Right. Like, oh, nope, don't touch me.
All right, guys, don't forget to join us on Unmasked because we have a lot of fun surprises in store.
Boy.
And we do a lot of fun things.
And Kim, we love Jesus, but we cuss a little.
We do. And Kim auctions off her blankets, her panties. She auctions off herself sometimes. You never know what we're going to do on Unmasked or... on our Patreon, we have just a jolly old time. So join us over on Patreon.
You got a check. We got a talent.
Yeah.
I'll do it for mine. Never mind.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll catch you later.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.